You're listening to the Meeting Midway podcast, a podcast of Midway United Methodist Church in Alpharetta, Georgia, featuring Pastor Jenny Andoni and Pastor Brad Biggerstaff. Over the course of the podcast, we'll hear how the church relates to the real-world issues that matter to you and how God loves us all. And now, let's meet Midway.
You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. You've been hearing the same old voice to the same old lies. You're trying to fill the same old holes inside. There's a better life. There's a better life.
You got pain. He's a pain taker. You feel lost, he's a way maker. You need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior.
You got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out in the same old fight. We all run to the things we know and just ain't right. When there's a better life, there's a better life.
You got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. Saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker.
You believe it, you receive it, you can feel it. Somebody
testify.
You believe it. You can feel it. If you can feel it, somebody testify.
Testify.
You believe it and you receive it. You can feel it. Somebody testify.
You got pain. He's a pain taker. You feel lost. He's a way. You need freedom or saving. He's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. If you need freedom or saving, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains,
he's a chain breaker.
Morning, Midway family. It's great to see you on this Sunday morning where we gather to worship together once again through online services. Today, we continue in our series where we have been giving a missional emphasis on these Sundays, today being UMCOR Sunday. As it is Good Shepherd Sunday, we also want to take time, especially with the recent tornadoes throughout the Southeast, to highlight UMCOR and the great work that they do. We have a local pastor from the Murray County area who will actually be sharing with us what's been going on there since the tornadoes that occurred Easter evening. We're grateful for your presence here with us today, and we want to welcome you and give you a chance right now to welcome one another in the chats. Tell someone that you're glad to see them today for this wonderful Sunday of worship.
Cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet. my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord our God. Then on the third, break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again. Oh, trample death, where is your sting? The angels roar for Christ the King. Oh, praise the return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed on Jesus' face.
Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord our God. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise his name forevermore. For endless days we will sing your praise. Oh, Lord our God. Oh, Lord our God.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this time. Please bless it. Please bring us closer together, even as we are separated. Please heal our country. Heal it, its health. Heal it and its many fractures with the economy. Lord, people need your peace. And we just ask for your peace that your spirit would bring. Thank you for this day, and thank you that we had this opportunity to worship you again. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Precious Lord, take my hand. Stand, I am tired. lest I fall, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the darkness appears and the night draws near and the day precious Lord, lead me home.
And now we come to a time of prayer. Like weeks before, if you have any prayer requests, type them out in the comment section below. Morgan will add those to the prayer list that goes out each week. And just know that we are continuing to pray for each and every one of you. But now let us bow our heads. Let us open our hearts and come humbly before our God in prayer. Good Shepherd, teach us to follow you, to care for all those that are close to us, to protect those who are threatened, to welcome those who are rejected, to forgive those who are burdened by guilt, to heal those who are broken and sick, to share with those who have little or nothing, to take time to really know one another and love as you have loved us. Good Shepherd, teach us to follow you, to spread compassion to those who are far away, to speak for those who are voiceless, to defend those who are oppressed and abused, to work for justice for those who are exploited, to make peace for those who suffer violence, to take time to recognize our connectedness and to love you as you have loved us. Good Shepherd, teach us today to follow you, and to be faithful to calling you, the calling that you gave us, to be shepherds in your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures.
He leads me beside still waters.
He restores my soul.
He leads me in right paths for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the darkest valley,
I fear no evil, for you're with me.
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You set a table before me
in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil.
My cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me
all the days of my life.
And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord
my whole life long.
Preaching professor Fred Craddy was once at Reagan National Airport in D.C. catching a flight back to Atlanta. This was post 9/11. And while he was waiting in line at the gate, he noticed a nice-looking man in his 50s, maybe 60, leaning against the wall off to the side from the gangway leading to the plane. The man was reading something aloud. And when Craddock got close enough he could hear him, he heard that he was reading Psalm 23, and he watched the reaction of the passengers around him. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the... What's he doing here? Asked the passenger. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Does he know something we don't know? What's wrong with this plane? Come on, Irma, let's go. We're taking another flight. The gate agent came over. Sir, you've got to quit. You've got to quit. I'm almost through, the man insisted. He finished reading the psalm. He didn't sound like a crackpot or anything, but according to Craddock's estimate, he did scare half the passengers off the plane. Craddock wasn't seated by the man on the plane, but he thought about it all the way back. So when they arrived in Atlanta, he went over and introduced himself and said, Would you tell me what in the world you were doing back there? The man said, well, I've never flown before, and I've been absolutely petrified. The only way I could get myself calmed down to ride this plane was to read the 23rd Psalm several times a day. This morning it occurred to me there might be other passengers who were scared like me, so I'll just read it to everybody. I thought it would be reassuring. Craddock felt obliged to enlighten the misguided Samaritan. You do realize the 23rd Psalm is not ours anymore. It belongs to the funeral home. You were scaring everybody. I didn't mean to scare anybody, said the man. I was trying to help. Today is Good Shepherd Sunday. This particular Sunday comes around every year during the Easter season, and with it a reading from the 23rd Psalm and also one from John 10, where Jesus declares himself to be the Good Shepherd. Why during this season of celebrating Christ's resurrection do we jump from readings about the disciples' heartwarming encounters with the risen Christ to 10 chapters earlier, well before the cross and the empty tomb? And why, right smack dab in the middle of the Easter season, are we given a psalm that we associate primarily with deathbeds and gravesites? There's no question that the 23rd Psalm is the most beloved psalm, and arguably the best known chapter in the whole Bible. This is probably because it is to funerals what 1 Corinthians 13 is to weddings. Its poetic words are so familiar, they practically roll off our tongue. Most of us can recite the psalm from memory, and even those of us who didn't grow up in the church are familiar enough with it that we are able to say it along with the congregation during the funeral, which is when the song gets its biggest play. And why shouldn't it? For what could be more comforting at the time of grief than the pastoral picture the psalmist paints of verdant fields and still waters, and of a shepherd lovingly guiding a lone sheep safely through the valley of the shadow of death to dwell forever in the house of the Lord? Yet it is precisely because we are so familiar with the psalm that we are apt to miss hearing what it has to say to us today, right now, where we are in our lives on this very day. We hear it, but we don't listen to it. Like music played over the speaker in the department store, it's there, but we don't even notice it. We're such old friends with the psalm that we think there's nothing new here to see, nothing left to unearth. In fact, I bet right about now our online engagement is plummeting because the music is over and the preacher started talking about a psalm about which there is nothing left to say that hasn't already been said over the last 3,000 years. Maybe that's why in 30 years of ministry, I've never preached on it. It's too tall an order. It seems almost too sacred to touch. And frankly, I'm not sure this message does it justice. But then, it didn't need my help in the first place. But I do need it. Perhaps you do too today. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, says David. That's who the good book attributes authorship. If anyone knew about shepherding, it was King David, who as a boy was delegated the responsibility of tending his father's flock. I shall not want. It's a nice sentiment, isn't it? But does it ring true, particularly under our current conditions? I can almost hear you talking back to your screen about now. Look, preacher, in case you haven't noticed, we're in the middle of a pandemic now. People are dying, and not just from the coronavirus, but from all kinds of things that people succumb to every day. My spouse no longer has a job, my business is on life support, and I've been stuck sheltering in place for what seems like forever now, separated from friends and family for weeks on end. Where is this God who, like a shepherd, leads his flock to green pastures to feed and beside still waters to drink? I find I'm wanting for quite a bit these days, and I'm talking about more than a need for toilet paper and a haircut. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Most of us prefer the language of the 400-year-old King James Version, perhaps because those are the words by which we first came to learn it. Besides that, maybe it's because the flowery language seems more befitting the song's poetic majesty. But the first line can also be translated, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." Or, "I lack for no good thing," or, "I have everything I need." Certainly doesn't have the same ring to it, but the change in wording might remind us of the importance of discerning between wants and needs. Wants are preferences, and needs are necessities, like food, water, shelter, and rest. And in our current shutdown, sheltering in place existence, some needs are clearly not being met. I read this weekend about a stampede in Kenya at a food distribution site. If the psalmist was in Nairobi today, would he sing so confidently, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want"? I wonder. When the income dries up and the bills are piled high, when loneliness and depression set in, when the doctor delivers bad news, when fear and anxiety have taken hold and the future looks uncertain, what is it we most need? Not more of the things we can have delivered to our doorstep or wait in line for on Costco. What we need is not more things, not even more of the good things that are needful. What we need is a shepherd. We need God. Because, as one commentator put it, God is the one and only thing that can cause us to say, "I lack no good thing." Frederick Buechner explains that what the psalmist means is that we will at last never be in want of the one thing we want more than anything else, that whatever else is withheld, the shepherd never withholds himself, and he is what we want more than anything else. Isn't that what the sheep is saying in the psalm? That's who's talking, you know. The good book may say it's David speaking, but if it is Israel's shepherd king, he's speaking in the first person of a sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. Which means, brothers and sisters, that when we say the psalm, we are much as acknowledging that we are sheeple, which isn't anything to go bragging about now, is it? After all, we know the poor reputation sheep have for being helpless, stupid, stubborn creatures, prone to nibbling themselves lost, little by little. In fact, sheep are so dumb it's not unheard of for them to graze themselves right off the mountainside, which sounds comical until we remember that people too have fallen off mountains, not while grazing, mind you, but while attempting to take dangerous selfies in order to feed a craving for a few worthless likes. Frederick Buechner says that part of what makes us like sheep is that we get hungry, and hungry for more than food. And we get thirsty for more than drink. He says our souls get hungry and thirsty. In fact, it is often that inner sense of inner emptiness that makes us know that we have souls in the first place. There is nothing that the world has to give us. There is nothing that we have to give each other, even, that ever quite fills them. But once in a while, that inner emptiness is filled even so, when, like a shepherd, God feeds us. He feeds that part of us which is hungriest and most in need of feeding. And what is it that God feeds us? What does God give us to fill that hole in our soul? God gives us God's self. God gives us Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, the Good Shepherd, the guardian of our souls. God's present with us, whoever we are, wherever we are, whatever we have done. God with us, whether we are in a lush green pasture on the mountaintop or in a valley so dark we can't see where we are headed, with only the gentle touch of a shepherd's crook at our side to guide us. In her commentary on Psalm 23, Catherine Kelsey said something that I think is particularly relevant for us at this time. She said that Psalm 23 reassures us of God's continuing presence, no matter what is happening to our bodies, our relationships, or community, or to our world. It is easy in the midst of trauma, she said, to give our confidence over to doctors or leaders as if they hold everything in their hands. They do not. We seek to discern the hand of God in the work of those who help in times of trauma, but we do not expect them to do everything on our behalf. Through it all, God, and God alone, is our true safety, our true shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul can also be translated, he restores my life. Or as it reads in the Hebrew Bible, he renews my life.
And maybe that is what God is doing with us right now, renewing our life. And maybe that is why this funeral song is dropped on us right here, smack dab in the middle of the Easter season 2020. It's here to remind us that there's no need for dirges this side of the empty tomb, for we worship a good shepherd who, out of compassion for us who were like sheep without a shepherd, came and died and rose again so that he could be with us always, even to the end of the age. Like John Wesley said before breathing his last, best of all, God is with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And now we come to the part of our service where we give of our tithes and offerings. As I mentioned earlier in the service, today is Umpqua Sunday, where we give a second offering beyond our normal tithes and offerings to Umpqua as they continue to serve within the United States and in the world in response to disasters and to COVID-19. Just recently in our own state, we experienced tornadoes on Easter Sunday evening. And Latham Postel, who is a pastor in Murray County in Chatsworth, Georgia, he has actually gone to sites of the devastation, and he has a short video for us now.
Greetings, friends. My name is Latham Postel, and I am the pastor of Center Valley United Methodist Church here in Murray County. As you probably saw on the news, on Easter Sunday night, April 12th, we had some very serious storms that blew through our area. These storms brought with them two tornadoes, one that was on the ground for about 6 miles and the other that was on the ground for about 8. I stand before you now in the location of where that EF3 8-mile tornado blew through. Over 200 homes were destroyed in some way, and 45 of those were completely destroyed, are no longer there. And worst of all, 7 innocent people lost their lives in these dangerous storms. This has been a very difficult time for this Murray County community, but it has been heartwarming to see all of the people across the county coming together, lifting each other up to try and rebuild what was once here. It's been great to see churches, other nonprofit organizations come together aid in this relief effort. And one of the key ones that has done that is Umpqua. You probably saw that Umpqua awarded the North Georgia Annual Conference a solidarity grant. This allows those of us on the ground to provide immediate relief and assistance to those that have been displaced. It allows us to pay for places to stay, for medical expenses, for storage units that place items that once had homes to go in. It has been a huge resource to have Umpqua supporting us here. It is heartwarming, again, to know that not only is our church and our community with us, but it's heartwarming to know that the entire denomination is here with us. And so I would invite you today, I would encourage you, if you are able to give to Umpqua. I have seen firsthand the work of Umpqua, the help that it does. You know, as a lifelong United Methodist, I've always supported Umpqua. I've heard the stories of the work that Umpqua does. I have seen stories that have been given to us. But I've never been in need of that. I've never been in a community that has been affected by a storm. And so to see the effort that Umpqua puts in is extremely vital to relief efforts here. And so know that in giving to Umpqua, 100% of your giving goes to relief efforts. The great thing about our denomination is that it pays for all of the administrative costs that come along with running an organization like that. You can have confidence in knowing that every dollar, every cent that you give goes to helping people whose lives have been changed forever. So I would invite you, I would encourage you today to give whatever you are able to Umpqua. Every little bit counts. And know that in doing that, you offer a little bit of hope, a little bit of grace, a little bit of peace those whose lives have been changed forever. So thank you for your donation from the bottom of our hearts here, from everyone who has been helped by the great work of Uncle. Thank you.
I really want to thank Latham for giving us that personal message today. And so as we come to God in this moment of giving, may we give to the good God who has given so much to us.
I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. All the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me. When I felt no worth, you paid it all for me. You have been so, so kind to me. All the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. No shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, bites till I'm down, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. All the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Receive now the benediction. May God go before you to guide you. May God go behind you to direct you. May God go beside you to befriend you. May God rest above you to protect you. May God rest below you to uphold you. And may God dwell within you to comfort you, now and forevermore. Amen.
The overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down, bites till I'm down, leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you give yourself away.
You've been listening to the Meeting Midway podcast from Midway United Methodist Church. The doors to our community are open to all, and we invite guests to join us at our services on Sunday. We have a traditional worship service at 8:30 a.m. in our historic chapel, an acoustic worship service at 9:45 a.m. in our historic chapel, and a contemporary service at 11 a.m. in our modern sanctuary. For more information, check us out online at midwayumc.org. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you soon.